Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Care Talk. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. This is your Omega 7, here to serve you, your advocate, the one you want, and your advisor, the one you need. I'd like to welcome you to our segment of the show featuring transition. This is our 20th segment, and we're working on health education. And we do have a prepared program for you. And we also like to say hello to our guest. She's in the audience. And that person is Robbie Cheney. And I'm going to say hello to her. Robbie, are you in the audience?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, Robbie. How are you? Thank you so much for joining us here at Blog Talk. I was going to say Pal Talk because I used to be on Pal Talk, but Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. And we are going to go to station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the air, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up right. Some come with me. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this door. Sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. are ready to listen to, get ready to, get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
And as is and as always, we always have a ritual before we start our session. I'd like to ask my assistants to come and purify me, and I want to look to my right and look to my left and see if he's in the audience. Can you purify me, please?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're purified.
Thank you so much. And as I look to my east and I look to my west, I look to each side and I pour libations. To the west, I pour libations to the south, to the north, to east, and to the west. And I ask for permission for my elder to speak. I see an elder in the audience, and I'm going to ask my elder if I have permission to speak and carry on this segment of the show. Do I have permission to speak, elder?
Yes, you do have permission to speak, and please carry on as part of the show.
Thank you so very much. It is great to have elders and Baba Laws in the audience that can give me the go-ahead to speak. And this portion of the segment of the show, I'd like to stop and explain that we do a talking cure in this room, and the talking cure is for the benefit of the families so that they can incorporate this ritual in their family and utilize it on a day-to-day basis. And we do acknowledge all of the ancestors that have gone on before us. This particular day, we'd like to welcome those ancestors here, and we'd like to call on our heroes and sheroes. And as we call on those heroes and sheroes, we say Ashe means so let it be done. We play the music softly in the background because we meditate during this particular time, meditating on the things that we're grateful for, that we're blessed for, and that we know we couldn't have done without standing on the shoulders of our elders and ancestors and those who support us, our family members as well. We'd like to call out the names of our ancestors, and we will also recognize our family members as well. Our ancestors' name, we'd like to call out Booker T. Washington, and we say Ashe. I'd like to call the name of Nina Simone, Ashe. I like to call out the name of Harriet Tubman, Ashe. Malcolm X, Ashe. I'd like to go right into calling out my personal ancestors' names, my mother and father, Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy P. Harvey, Ashe. And Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Essie Pope, Ashe. Tommy Harvey, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in calling out our ancestors, because we are reminded of the fact we can do nothing in and of ourselves, and we have to be reminded that it is because of the fact that our ancestors came and went through the middle passage and brought us here unmolested. We are free today, and we're capable of coming here in this room without being molested or being affected by speaking our minds today. We'd like to thank you so very much for participating in that particular part of the segment. We also have a pledge, and as you know, we do our pledge, and we also incorporated a family pledge. And because we have a guest today, we are going to go right into our pledge, and possibly on Monday, we will reintroduce the pledge for the parents and the family. This is the allegiance of the pledge that we do. Here's to the flag of mine, red, black, and green. Hope in its future bright Africa has seen. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it in time to come. Red blood shall flow of it, historians shall write of it, great flag of mine. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it, whose destiny depend on it, the red, black, and green of it. Old flag of mine, here's to the green of it. Young men shall dream of it, face shot and chilled of it, maidens shall sing of it. Waving so high, here's to the whole of it, colors brought and pole of it. Please, is my soul with it, regardless of what is told of it. Thanks to God for giving it, great flag of mine. And ladies and gentlemen, please incorporate these affirmations in your daily affirmation. And remember that it is important that you teach your children affirmations. This is our African history segment, and we are teaching you things to incorporate in your life on a day-to-day basis. Now, we would like to go right into our segment for the show evening. However, what I'd like to do is to do a little review, and I'm going to bring the music down so that we can cover a review. And then we'll bring our guests right in to the conversation. Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. All right. As you know, we have been covering the topic of transition as well as Parent Information Center, Family Resource Center, and how does a person with a child that has a disability establish a Parent Information Center. We've covered information concerning the topic of transition. We started on transition yesterday, and as I explained to you, that transition is mandatory in the school system, that a child must have a transitional plan in their file by the age of 14 if they have been labeled and they do have a special needs requirement. Then those children are given special service. And we talked about that young child who might transition out of high school into the community and go out to seek employment. Now, this is where we want to zone into. Most of those children have a very difficult time finding employment because they have a deficit or a handicap. There's a large percentage of those students unemployed. They do need help, and sometimes they can ascertain that help from various different organizations in the community. Those organizations are made available whether or not the children's parents help them to get involved with this help. It's a different thing. Some of these children know up front that they have rehabilitation services. Some of them don't. Now, for the benefit of those parents who are not familiar with the rehabilitative services in the audience, this segment of the show is going to be focused in on transitioning into the workforce. How do you do that? How do you find someone to help you and act as a coach to assist you? Now, you know, we always bring on some literature to help us reinforce our topic for today. I have a fantastic book, ladies and gentlemen, that I'd like to share with you. And fortunately, we have one of the authors in the audience. The title of that book is The Power of the Platform. And these are speakers who are speaking on a purpose. And as I indicated earlier, we have Robbie Cheney in the audience, and she is here to talk about coaching adults who are transitioning into the workforce. She is an expert. She is a specialist, a master teacher who has worked in the elementary capacity and went on to work in adult education, receiving her undergraduate degree in education and her master's degree in communication, adult education. So her specialty lies in working with the adult population. And I would also tend to believe the special populations because they have a talent and they need special assistance as well. I'm going to have Robbie come on in a minute, but I did read a little bit of her profile. And Robbie is very, very blessed and very fortunate. When she started in this line of work, I understand that there was a tragedy that happened in her life, and I'm going to let her elaborate on that. And she persevered through that, even with the young children that she had to care for, and she still became an advocate working on behalf of challenged families. And I'm going to introduce Robbie to you right now and ask Robbie to come on, tell us how she got involved with coaching and what are some of the programs she went through to gain her skills. And if she can, tell us a little bit about her day-to-day job as a coach. Robbie, you have the microphone and you're in the atmosphere.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate that. I love that welcome. Thank you very much. Well, I'll just get started. My name is Robbie Chaney, and I am an educator, and I have transitioned from the elementary side of education and into working with adults with disability. And I also do personal coaching also. My whole thing about transitions is that we all are going to go through some type of change in our life. And when that happens, it is something that happens internally, that internal transition. And to create a movement to keep us moving and going on to another destination, another place that we can definitely grow. I have worked with adults as a job coach at a facility called BCI, and BCI is a place where there are adults with disabilities, and what I did as a coach is I was a personal coach, and I coached them into the workforce, helping them with the job, asking them powerful questions to get them to transition into working. It was a fun job and quite an experience.
Well, Robbie, I'd like to ask you a few questions. You and I share a similar background in that I was an elementary teacher and then I transitioned into adult education upon going to work at one of the nearby junior colleges working with adults. However, they weren't challenged, but the students that I worked with in high school were challenged, and they soon became adults, and they were looking for employment, and I found that it was much harder to place them and to help them find employment. What are some of the challenges that you face and that these various populations of special needs families, what are some of the challenges that they're up against that that regular, normal people, so to speak, I won't even say normal, well, I will say people that don't claim to have deficits, what are some of the problems that they're up against that we don't face on a day-to-day basis?
Well, those problems are the barriers that we cannot even imagine. It's simple things as picking up paper, trying to staple paper together, working with only one hand, walking, wearing actually helmets to only where they can do minimal things within a job. So at the place where I was actually a mentor, either we assessed the employees, and what we had them do was exactly what they were or what they could do. Either they were on the line stamping little packets of Target nail polish remover, so they were stamping them, they were packing them. Some of the employees had difficulties with counting, so we had counting sheets. So all that was coached to them. I was teaching them counting skills and teaching them strategies on how to place it in the proper position. That was a big transition for them from not working into a job force. And BCI is a wonderful, I mean, absolutely wonderful place where employees are actually working at their capacity.
Well, you know, Robbie, I had wanted to possibly wonder for most teachers who are looking for a change, when you transition out of the elementary setting, I know that you cannot duplicate the same methodology for teaching adults. I had to attend some seminars to relearn how to work with adults, and I found that their whole learning mechanism was different from elementary. And their motivation levels are different, and you intrigue them and induce their knowledge a little bit different because they come eager to learn. What are some of the differences you found in training adults opposed to training the elementary children?
Oh, Wow, a big difference. You're absolutely right. Their energy is a lot higher, and they really want to learn. Because you're at a new facility, and you are creating something for them that is tangible. This is something that they can feel proud about themselves. So in that, they were extremely excited and wanted to do the work and wanted to do it to the T. They wanted to do it exactly right. I remember one worker who was counting, but he was turning all of their little packets of nail polish remover, where he was turning them to the left and they were supposed to be to the right. And he said, "Oh, I'm doing this the wrong way." So he really was recognizing what he was doing and internally was saying, "Wow, this is great. I can do this." So he would turn it around, pack it in the box, and it will go on the belt. Totally just something that we would be like, "Oh, you know, that's no big thing." But it really meant a lot to him to achieve that moment in his life.
That is excellent. Robbie, I am so excited about your new book that's out on the market. I met Fred Wilkerson and was very, very impressed with the fact that your name is in lights with Jack Canfield, Sherman Lane, Marian Richardson, Keith Frezzi, Barbara Kozman, and Brenda Bench. And also, there is also Carlos Ray in addition to Fred Wilkerson. So you're up there with the big guys now, and most of these people are motivational speakers who deal with things like, if I can remember Jack Canfield, he has dealt with a lot of New Age material as well as dealing with the laws of attraction, which I follow quite a bit. And that's what drew me to this book. But I found out that Fred was involved with a number of different trainees. And I was just wondering, are you involved with the Think and Grow Rich, I think it is, the gentleman,
yes.
Napoleon Hill is the author of that book and material, and he presents all over the world. And here in our hometown, there is a Napoleon Hill National Headquarters. Are you involved in the Napoleon Hill training?
I have read the book, but I am not involved with any of his trainings right now. But the book is a great book. I do have the book. Learned a lot from that book. And I just created this momentum and started doing my own things just from reading that book.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I think we are being a little bit shy and pumping up what's really going on here because Robbie is in the big league now. And trust me, if everything takes off with this book like The Secret, you may see Robbie in much, much more programs throughout the state dealing with the new thought, because most of these people are around the energy of new thought. Wouldn't you say, Robbie?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, are you a New Thought believer also?
A New Thought believer. Can you tell me a little bit more? Are you?
Okay. Now, Jack Canfield, from what I understand, I have attended some workshops with him. He has these national trainings. The New Thought is mostly connected to Christian Science. It is connected to the Mary Baker Eddy philosophy of basically believing and doing affirmations and looking at the laws of attraction, inertia, looking at alchemy, understanding that mainly your words are what you're justified by. You speak your existence into being, and most of what happened to you, you've called into being. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I base that on biblical truth.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. I am all for that. Ask and you receive. Believing.
Okay.
It's all about your belief system and changing.
Well, this is a great thing, because when I saw your picture here, I was thinking about Louise Hay, and I was thinking, oh, you're going to really advance into some other levels. Louise Hay has been a favorite of mine because of all of the belief systems she's had on meditation and new thought. I am definitely solidified in a number of different disciplines, and I'm really open to understanding the scientific spirituality. And I like to tell people that being a Christian does not limit us to what we can believe, and I'm one of those different Christians. I love the study of religion. I love the study of history and lifestyles and ways of life, and I take a little bit from each denomination, so therefore I tell them I am solidified in Christ because I do accept Christians. I am Islamic because I do meditate, and I tell them that I find truth in everything I can find, so therefore I do not, you know, lock myself in, and I'm not stuck on frozen viewpoints. And that's something that when you become very, very astute to working with people from all over the world, you have to be open to new concepts and philosophies, because, you know, we get so stuck in our pedagogy of philosophies, then people cannot tell us new truths, and then we're lost. And if it didn't come out of that one book, they are just not hearing it. It has to come from the King James, and that's it. And I've long gone away from all of that to the point to learn meditation and see the benefit of it. Even being a Christian, I saw the benefit. So I'm saying to you, Robbie, is that hanging with these guys, you are going to get a lot of people that will ask you, are you a spiritualist? Are you a new thought person? You're going to get all these questions because these people, I mean, they replicate new thought and spirituality. And I don't know if you knew that. Fred also is connected to the new thought.
Well, I am connected to the new thought. I also have a relationship with Christ, so I am very grounded in his word. And I know that the same people that are doing the exact same thing that I'm doing, and they may not be Christian, it still comes out the same. They're still getting the same results. And I don't
Same results.
Exactly.
And that's what I always say. You know, I don't care what you call yourself.
Exactly.
The main thing is that, do you find the many paths to get to God? And if so, you know, in this one, we try to acknowledge everyone. And I interview people from all walks of life. We had a gentleman from the scientific spirituality, which is not a faith at all. It's a way of life. It was a beautiful concept. I mean, simply beautiful. And the way he explained it, he really enlightened me. And I do know that when you're working with families that have special needs, there's so much that they have to pray for all the time because the little things become so difficult to cut through the bureaucracy. And my time as an advocate, Robbie, was spent in a setting where I had to adjudicate legal laws for the students in school, going into courtrooms and doing due process hearings when children were suspended that had a label on them of special ed, trying to get them back in school. However, when I did transition to the adult education capacity, I found that I had more rewarding success because these people came to school eager to learn, and they were so accommodating that I didn't have to, you know, go through the managerial behavior problems. You didn't have to make them do anything. They wanted to do their work. Have you found that to be true also?
Absolutely, absolutely. No problem there. They really want to do the work, and they love the work, and they want to learn more. Absolutely.
Now, let me say something, Bobby. I'm always bragging about I'm an advocate. And in this room, they always say, oh, there she goes again. Only you get the advocate. But they never really knew what I was talking about until I did this segment of the show. So this is our time to show out about being an advocate. I think it's a mission. I think it's a way of getting yourself back to the community. I think it's a calling. I think you really have to love people to do this, and you have to be very, very empathetic with the plight of people who are slow to grow in certain areas. So what would you say that a person has to have as an attribute to be an advocate?
A person would have to have a heart for someone else to grow. You always want to pull out all of the unique brilliance. We all have we are just full of talent, gifts, and brilliance. And to unleash that, pulling out those qualities in someone. So that person has to have a heart to help someone to grow and achieve their goal.
Very good, very good. I just concur with you on that, Robbie. You are so right on the money because I found that an advocate never, ever had put their answer machine on and said, I'm off the job. Because once you're committed to helping people that are in a crisis, that's exactly what you do. And it, wherever that phone call comes, you take that phone call because that particular time in that life may be the difference between life and death for some people who are trying to matriculate from one level to the next. And I found that in working with coaching, I worked with welfare mothers at one time. And boy, was that a treat because everyone kept saying, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your time. It was the most successful time in my life. I noticed that these women felt that nobody had a heart for them, no one took the cases with them. And I knew what I was up against because everyone told me that it wouldn't work. I took 100 women that were on welfare in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and interviewed them for a job that I had to create in the child care area, not knowing that some of these women were on controlled substance, and I had to work with them through that in addition to getting them to the job so they could stay on it. Eventually, when they saw what I was all about, everything just started to fall into place. I got the cooperation. I no longer had to babysit them. But at one time, I thought about turning around, saying, this isn't for me. But just at the end of the rainbow, the storm, all of a sudden they turned around and they surprised me with this banquet. And these women paid for everything out of their own pocket. They eventually graduated through the program. And they were the best class I ever had because they began to see the fact that they didn't make it, they were at the bottom. And if they didn't make it while they were down at the bottom, it would be nowhere for them to go up. So they came to grips with the fact, I need to do something with this opportunity, else there won't be any more opportunities for me. The windows will be shutting. So what I found was that the empathy that you talked about, you have to have the empathy, and you have to want to heal. You have to want to make things better. And this is what gives you the drive to go on. I'm more proud, Bobby, than anything I've ever accomplished of being an advocate and an advisor than anything else because it allows you to be a servant. And I don't think you can lead anywhere in society without humbling yourself to be a servant. And how do you feel about being a servant? Is it okay to take the role of a servant?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. To serve God is to love him, and to love him is to show others through you how much his love shines. So absolutely. And it is about people. People need our help. And that's why coaches are here. We are here to support you in a transition in your life because we all are going to go through some type of transition, whether it be through a death, divorce, or just trying to do another job change. It's all about transition, and that's what I'm about. I am an advocate of change and transition.
What are some of the skills that a good coach needs to acquire when attempting to become a coach? And are there any schools that you would recommend that one could go through for getting these skills and attributes?
Absolutely. That's a great question. The school that I really, really like to mention is called Coach U. It's one of the top schools. Everything is virtual. You will one of the skills that, no, there are many skills, actually, to be intuitive. Have to be intuitive. You have to learn to be quiet and to listen. Listening is a major gift in coaching. It is a big gift because through that listening, powerful questions come. Everything that you need is inside of you. So through personal development, you will learn the who of you, the what of you, and the how of you. You will begin to transform yourself, the way you think, and create a change in your life.
Now, Robbie, can you define what the word intuitive means for the listening audience, just in case we have someone that's not familiar with that term?
Absolutely. When you are intuitive, you are deeply seeking in the reservoirs of your heart through that other person, intuitively thinking, deep thinking, of a question that may come out that will draw out a gift of that person, something that person didn't know. By creating questions, you also get that person to shift in their thinking, to shift the way they once used to think into another way of thinking. And that starts with listening. Not solving their problem, not being a therapist, but listening. Listening is a major part of coaching.
Now, you know, Robbie, because you have worked with so many people before, and we also are covering the topic of mental health, and I know in my line of work of working with special needs, I've come across candidates that had mental health, and I've worked with family members who've had mental health, and I had to really be taught and relearn different tasks, and I also had to look at the nutritional value. Were these people consuming foods that they could actually digest, and did I need to make a recommendation about their diet so that they are working with the nutritional balance that they need so they can function and they can readily be able to allow themselves to comprehend and to speak. So what do you know or have you worked with any patients that have had mental health that you have had to make recommendation about their diets and their eating habits?
I have to say that I have not worked with one that I've had to recommend a certain diet. When they come to me, they already have that diet in place, so they know what they can eat and what they cannot eat. So I have not had the opportunity to actually mentor someone on what to eat.
Okay. Because I have had some clients that have mood disorders, and for all intents and purposes, they would throw everything in a category under mood disorders, which could be anywhere from bipolar disorder and anxiety to clinical depression. And in looking at all of these different topics, they all run from the gamut from one extreme to the other. And sometimes you could tell the difference between whether or not they may have had their meds that day or whether or not they had been eating sugars that could actually trigger it too. So what I was finding that what type of when you go into work with the clients, do you specify if they have a certain disability or the ones that you only work with, or do you have to have an opportunity to specify?
I do not have an opportunity to specify, but I know prior what type of medication they're on, what they can eat, what they cannot eat, what to stay away from, so that I am aware of what to look for if anything should occur. So when they come to me, that's already in place. So my job as a coach is to actually do the coaching part.
So you're not engaged with exercising, what are you eating, let's change some eating habits. So your area of coaching is strictly relating to employment only.
Yes, it's more of a mentor. Okay. So I am their mentor, yes. But I also, not to say that I can't, but I definitely, if I did have a client, I would definitely do the research on them and, absolutely suggest, if possible, what was needed for this situation.
Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit because I see that on our agenda we were going to be talking about some products, and I'm just going to throw some products out there, Robbie. One of the products that we were going to feature today is called the True Hope product. And in ordering this, you could Google the True Hope. I was so excited about that to tell some of the families about who I coach about the True Hope, because some of them, they didn't have any hope, Robbie. They were on medication, and for those people who it wasn't a match for them and they just weren't faring well with the allopathic medicines, some of their parents had to seek out alternative medicines for some of the patients that were mental health. And one of them was the True Hope, and I ran across that product online. It was a godsend for some of the people that I referred to. This particular tool product was actually a product that a family member designed to help his family, who was in a lot of mood disorders and distress. He had already lost his wife behind all of this, and his two children were soon going to be in the hospital, and he had just threw his hands up for the last time. So he had opted to create this formula, and basically most of these patients were deficient, is what he wrote about. And I was just wondering, because as a coach, sometimes I have to counsel on diet, exercise, eating habits, the whole bit. And it could really run its gamut. And one of the things that I was really interested in knowing, have you just thought about doing other areas of coaching now, Robbie, other than just the educational job part of it? Do you feel the need to get involved in other areas and broader areas of coaching?
My expertise in coaching is creating change and momentum. That is what I do. When it comes to the diet and that area, that's another kind of area that I have not touched with, on working with.
And that's understandable, Robbie, because there are such specialties in coaching now. It is understandable.
Yeah.
In the school system, Robbie, what I'm finding now is that there is a big, big push under health education for those children who are overweight and they're obese. There are various different entrepreneurs coming into school offering a district programs to work with these adult learners, as well as with these high school students who are finding that they are becoming so obese. They are now trying to incorporate yoga into the classroom to help that child, because the weight sometimes impedes their learning, and it has a lot to do with their disposition and mood and everything. So I find that some people are broadening their coaching arena. Now, let's get back to your specialty in the workforce. What are some of the jobs that you are seeing that your clientele are able to ascertain? What are some of the jobs that they can entertain an interview for and they are more likely to get? And what are some of the difficult jobs that they can't get?
Okay, great. One of my clients, she has a disability. She only has one hand working. So her placement was in an office setting, a nice, quiet office setting. She was able to answer the door, and she was also able to answer the phone by just hitting the speaker, okay? And she did a little other minimal things, but just those two things was such an accomplishment for her. Some other students that I had, they actually were in a warehouse. So we placed them in a warehouse where they were folding shirts, and it was actually a strategic fold because they had to really think of the fold, think of the setting, place them in there, have a right count. So it's different positions and different jobs that one can go to, but it's only able through assessment. So what I do is I actually assess, see what they're capable of doing, and we find a place for them that fits. And in that place, that is where they shine. And that's what
Now, Robbie, when you go to the district, who are you interfacing with in the administrative department? Are you interfacing at all with the home ec department, or who is your line of contact that you work with so that they can collaborate with you to make this thing happen, such as job transition?
I am actually with the principal, actually. The principal will tell me where to go. I was actually at BCI, and that's the only place I've actually worked in. And BCI is a foundation that supports the needs that are not met by the public funding. So what it does is that it ensures future employment for adults with disabilities. And with those adults, that is where they are placed in the workforce. I'm not sure in the school system they are actually placed through the principal, and then they come to BCI for a transition. And that's
now, are you involved in the M-team meetings where you go in and sit on the massive team so that you can give input as to the type of technical assistance or services that these students will need when they transition out into the workforce?
Well, there's actually a team that is in place, and I report back to the team of where this person needs to be placed. So there is a team set in place. They have different job positions, and we all get together and we talk about where this person can be placed, if they can be placed, what should we do. I did have some high school people, students that actually were in BCI and ready to go back into their senior year, back into the school. But this time when they went back into school, they were able to do a lot of things by themselves, like driving their own wheelchairs instead of someone else driving their wheelchairs, writing just one letter of their name, things
now,
of that.
Let me ask you a question. So these students are assessed. Now, how frequently do you assess them, and at what point when they enter the program do you assess them, and do you upgrade them based on what additional things that they can do?
Now, let's see. Okay, I don't do this. I do, when they come to me, I do a general assessment. They are placed through me through BCI. So BCI is the place that I work, and in the school system, they are already assessed through their teachers. So I'm no longer in the school systems. I've transitioned from the school and into BCI.
Okay.
Yes.
So you don't have to do any follow-up assessment in the event that somebody's skills have advanced, that you can now say this person is ready to go on to a high-level job skill or anything like that. How about intelligent tests? Do you do any aptitude tests to see where their skills lie?
No, I don't do that either. I'm sorry. That is done within the school system. So when they come to me, it's a clean slate, and I have to write a huge report on their progress, on their daily progress for each day. So when they're with me, it's a brand new slate. I know the history, but they're in a new position, a new job. Everything is new when they come to me.
That's great. They get a fresh start. Now, how does this fit in with your master's degree? Have you been able to use any of your skills from your master's degree? I would suppose with a communication degree would be very, very beneficial in helping you to work with the clients. But what has been the most advantageous skill that you acquired in your master's level training that has helped you with doing this type of work?
I would have to say training, definitely the communication part, but also training. So what I do with my employees is that I actually train them how to do what needs to be done. So training is very big. I teach the job skills training, and life coaching goes right along with it.
This is a lifelong learning. What are some of your objectives and desires to broaden your area of coaching, and what are some of your aspirations of advancing your entrepreneur type of training? And do you currently work as an entrepreneur now, or are you a contractor?
I am an entrepreneur right now. So I just want to talk about some of the benefits with working with me. And one big benefit with my clients is that we create a clear, crystal clear vision for where they want to go, where they want to be, and how we're going to get there. So we talk about that within the next 6 months and next 12 months. We create a crystal clear vision. Then we uncover some hidden challenges that might be sabotaging their ability to move forward. We all sometimes have barriers that keep us from moving forward. Well,
mm-hmm.
I definitely uncover those hidden challenges. And
I see a listener in the audience. I'm going to acknowledge him, Robbie, if you don't mind. Is it okay?
Hi.
Okay. Hello, you in the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hello? Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
How are you?
I had a question for Robbie.
Yes.
Yes.
I was thinking of going into counseling myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you went through an online school. Could you repeat that school again? Because I would like to check it out myself. And how is the market for counseling? Do you work? It sounds like you work for like a private sort of private organization rather than a public one.
Right. Okay. So first, coaching is not counseling.
Oh, I see.
Yes. So coaching is actually drawing out the abilities within someone. Totally different from counseling, but there is a place for counseling within side of coaching, because counseling is giving advice and telling some and telling. Coaching is not telling. Coaching is actually drawing out the abilities in one. And it's definitely not therapy, so we don't give prescriptions for diagnosing people at all either.
No.
Totally different. But that school is called Coach U, and you can go to CoachU.com.
CoachU.com.
And that's the letter U.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coach U, the letter U.com.
And do you find that schools are receptive to working with you as a coach rather than as a counselor?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. When you go through the program, they will identify the differences between counseling and therapy.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to get that website down to check it out, and maybe I just didn't want to pursue myself.
Absolutely.
And, sir, also we wanted to direct you to the website and tell you that there is a book that Robbie is listed in under The Power of the Platform. This is a collective rendition that was written, and Robbie is listed in that book. And, Robbie, is there a place that you can tell them where you can ascertain that book?
That would be great.
Sure, that's chaneycoaching.com.
Okay.
That's chaney.com. Chaneycoaching.com. That's my website. And I would definitely like to offer anyone just to talk to me. And my email is robbie@chaneycoaching.com. But if you have any questions, just shoot me an email. I'd love to talk with you.
Will do, will do. I definitely will do that. My sister works as a special ed teacher.
Okay, yeah.
So we have a lot of public service in our family.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to this, and it sounds like what you do is so, empowering to these students that I couldn't help wanting to do it myself, It sounds like something that really has an impact on people's lives, and I really appreciate that. So I will definitely check out Coach U and chaneycoaching.com.
Excellent. Thank you.
But thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And please, why don't you come back and join us sometime? We have a lot of interesting topics, and we're going to be talking more about working abroad as a special needs instructor and as well as students going abroad to do advocacy work. So we're going to get into some topics in special ed.
That would be great. I used to live in Europe, actually. I don't know if you have
that.
Where? I used to live in – well, it's not Europe. It's England. I used to live in England,
mm-hmm.
in London. And I did work in the schools while I was there. I went to the London School of Economics. I'm a math econ major. So I did work in the public schools in London for a while, and I have a certificate from the schools that I did work with. But it's been a while since I've actually done public service, and I want to get back into that. And now that I'm in a good financial position to do so, I want to jump right back in and contribute to the community.
And your area of special education, are you a counselor or a licensed?
No, I'm not. My sister is a special ed teacher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I myself am.
What do you want to do? What is it that you would like to do?
Well, I have a friend who's a counselor in a school. And what she primarily does is provide reports and advocacy for students with special needs. And I kind of was thinking of doing that, but it seems like what Robbie does here is more impact, has more of an impact on the students than just writing reports and sending them away and then hoping that they get funding.
Yeah, that's true. I hear exactly what you're saying, because Robbie is really in the trenches and make a difference in the person's life. Robbie, I want to thank you so very much for all your contribution and being a guest on my show today. And you're always welcome to come back. We're going to have Fred Wilkinson on next week, And I definitely would encourage you to come back to talk more about the power of the platform, which listening audience, I definitely want you to go out and get that book, because I was just blown away by all of the people. Like I said, Jack Canfield is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And these people are all connected to, in some way, The Secret. And they really have some powers that are really great. And I think that there's something special about the work you do, Robbie, being an advocate and knowing that advocates really, really cannot say no. They're always taking on extra work, and we do so many things for free. And I just have to commemorate you on being a part of that team. I had no way of knowing that that's the line of work you were in when I first read your bio. And then I had to read it a second time. I said, well, my goodness, she's a daughter education. But then I found out later that, you know, you became a single mom. And I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that you overcame something. You were an overcomer too, Robbie, and you literally became had a challenge in your life that you overcame. And I wanted to tell you that usually that's how things happen with the great obstacles that we have in our own life. We're able to matriculate and use those skills for somebody else's life. And what are some of the skills that you gained from going through your tragedy that help you to work with people with special needs?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Through my tragedy, and for those of you who haven't yet read my chapter in The Power of the Platform, I was married for 10 years and just...
And, Bobby, I will say that we're coming up on a 60-second, but you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to close out with the music, and then I'm going to still have you on the air. So keep it right there. Keep it right there. Okay, Robbie?
Okay.
Hold on. Let me close out the show, and then we'll still be on the air, and I do want to hear your topic on how you use your skills to better yourself in the career of working in the service area. Ladies and gentlemen, please lock in that phone number, 646-478-0270. We have Robbie Taney in the atmosphere here today talking to us about transition and her experience as being a life coach working with transitioning adults into employment. So stay tuned. We're still on the air. We're just going to bring our music on, and please do come back at us in the air. I'm just going to put that music on, and that way we can come right back on. Thank you so much. Okay, we've got that music on, so that way they won't close us out. Go right ahead, Mrs. J.
Okay. Would you talk right over that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I left being married. I had a son, Lee, and my husband knows. Lymphoblastic lymphoma. And through
slow that,
that
down a little bit.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So through his diagnosis of this rare form of cancer called lymphoblastic lymphoma, it's a very rare form of non-Hodgkin lymphoma that occurs in adults. It actually accounts for less than 3 in every 100 cases overall. We had a long battle, 6 months actually, and even though I fought and prayed and we did all that we knew to do, he went on ahead and went to be with the Lord. And through that transition and that devastation, I was widowed at a very young age. I was 32 years old, and I had 3 small children. And through that, it was a big transition, a big change. But through it all, I had this enormous amount of faith that kept me moving. So I am definitely like to help people in that area when they go through this life-changing transition that they can move forward. And that's what I did. God did restore my life. I did remarry, and I'm on my 10th year with my second husband. So through that challenging time, I grew. And I learned to just be humble and to know that we all need help. And that's why I love coaching, because coaching is the most powerful change on earth. So I am such an advocate for change. And that's what I like to talk about, is creating change in your life, because you do have to change your direction and you would change your life.
Well, thank you so very much, Robbie. You've been a joy to interview, and I think that we are going to invite you back again to talk more about coaching. Omi's always out there in the trenches doing the advocacy work, and it's good to have somebody on the show with me that is a lover of advocacy work. I think it takes a very special person, Robbie, it really does, to humble yourself, to even bend over, to do the additional things that we have to do, not only to encourage and to get behind them somewhat of, as a referee. I used to do referee work, and I thought it was easy to be a coach, and I tell people I really never meant to be a teacher. I've always been a coach, and it sounds like you have too.
Oh, and yeah. It
sounds like that you get a lot of joy out of what you do, and that's the most important thing. If you can really enjoy what you do, then somehow it doesn't seem like a job. And I want to say also, Robbie, your materials and other things that you have coming out that you would like for us to look out for, is there anything that you're working on now or something that you plan to work on?
Yes, I am getting ready to actually host a webinar. Be in tune for that. It's going to be called 180 Momentum, Change Direction, Change Life. And I'm going to be talking about the phases of transition and what it means, and that through your experience, you can move forward. And through my coaching,
well,
that's
what I would love to be. I would love to do some other things with you, Robbie. So definitely we're going to exchange emails and stay in touch. And I would definitely like to be involved with some of the things and also include you in some of the things that we're doing here online. And we're in the process of putting together a Family Life Center. It will focus in on a virtuous online family life center so the parents can go online and adults and get things offline and download them so that they will have a one-stop family life center, which is a resource and referral. And that may be something that you and I definitely can talk about, because parents don't realize there are a lot of things that are free out there that they're entitled to from the state, and they just don't know where to get the resources from. But I definitely am working on something where the birth to three, I work with the birth to three from infants and to birth, and so I work with the family and the child, and that gets the parent involved. However, my biggest joy is working with the adult, and I always say that it doesn't take a village to raise a family. It takes a parent to raise up a village, because we have to empower our parents, and that's what I'm doing on this show, and I hope that you can join me, Robbie, in empowering adults so that they can really do a better job of training our children.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's been great. It's been great, ladies and gentlemen. And we've had Robbie Cheney in the room. You definitely want to come back and listen to the recording. We're going to ask that Robbie join us again, because next week we're going to have Fred Wilkerson. He is also Joy. He is a part of the same group that has been writing under the power of the platform. What does that mean exactly, Robbie, the power of the platform?
Well, when you have the platform, all eyes are on you. So we are drawing attention to speakers on purpose. There's speakers on success, and her latest edition is actually speakers on life. So there's actually three series in this power of the platform.
So how does one get involved in this if they wanted to speak for you or be a part of this platform?
I am actually listed with the Las Vegas Convention Speakers Bureau, so you can look me up there and hire me. I do speaking events. I'm here in St. Louis, Missouri. I don't know if I mentioned that, but I'm going to be speaking in November. I'm not quite sure what the date is yet, but I'm going to be actually doing a big seminar and speaking there on the power of the platform, speakers on purpose.
Now, how does other coaches or speakers get involved in this whole transition of the power of the platform? Who do you speak to if you say, I'd like to be a part of that, I'd like to be with that, involved in the momentum? How do you talk to someone about getting involved in this particular platform?
Well, now this is actually publishing. So if you have a desire to write and to publish your story, call me. So I can definitely get you hooked up with Two Birds Publishing. I actually know the publisher, and her name is Robin Jay, and she has created this wonderful series, and she's out of Las Vegas.
Great. Listen, audience, I hope you heard that. On this show, Robbie, we talk a lot about getting good literature. We try to close the gap of disparity of having good literacy in the home and putting print into the families again. And we try to feature as many books as we can. Hopefully we'll get a blue ribbon stamp that we give out to people so that people will know that Omi Inc. has sanctioned those books. And once I've given you the sanction, that means that you're going to get all this publicity, free publicity, I might add. So we are going to play this book up quite a bit. It will be talked about next week. So you'll get a lot of airtime when we talk to the listening audience next week. Right now I'm going to bring the show to a close. We're going to bring it down. And I'd like to thank all of those who've gone all the way with us on this topic. And please do be good to yourself this weekend. And most of all, find somebody that you can endorse. Be an advocate. Be a supporter. Also, if there is someone that has been slow to growth and they need help and you know they don't have the whereabouts to do it, go and volunteer. Give of yourself. Go into your churches and find people that can't do things for themselves and that might be, I don't want to say handicapped, challenge, because everyone has a disability. I want to say challenge. And we can all become challenged overnight by virtue of our circumstances. So it doesn't matter how you're doing today, because tomorrow it could be unforeseen circumstances. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being a part of the talking show. And I'm getting ready to give you my old show, the talking show. I used to do a talking show. But this show is the Care to Read Room. And once again, get those books out. Go and find the power of the platform. Read to your children, parents. Introduce good literacy. And as you know, African Americans, we are going to talk to you specifically. Incorporate reading time in your agenda. Save time to give that child some lap time and to teach them about their culture and their heritage. And you've been great audience, and you followed me, and thank you so very much for being a part of our show. We are going to continue on Monday, and we are going to allow you to have a break this weekend. I'm going on a sabbatical. I don't know what else you guys are doing, but Robbie, I always tell them I got to go on sabbatical, and I take my little two-day break, so it's time for sabbatical time. So we're going to put that music on, Robbie, and we're going to line dance on out of here. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you for having
me. We always line dance out of here. Do you line dance, Robbie?
I love it.
All right. Let's get the two-step going.
Love that.
Thank you so very much for being a part of our show, Robbie Sandy. The Honorable Robbie Tandy, ladies and gentlemen. She's a part of the Power of the Platform. We'd like to thank her for being a part of our show, and we will be promoting this book throughout next week, ladies and gentlemen. Lock in on dial. Lock in that number, 646-478-0270. All right. Mothers up front. Elders in the rear. We're marching out of here with a line dance. Thank you so very much. I'd like to send out three shots to Harambe, our listening audience. Harambe! 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 Hello, Delani Ahmad. We are supporting you. We hope you are supporting us. Thank you so very much, Ms. Chang. You've been a joy to work with. Thank you so very much for giving us an hour of your time. And listening audience, we're going to give you your atmosphere back. We give you your world back, and thank you so much. All right, slide to the right, slide to the left. It's time for sabbatical time. It's the weekend. Mrs. Cheney?
Yes.
Are you still with us?
I'm here. I'm good.
All right. We don't mind if you want to line dance with us in here. Just being funny on Friday, Ms. Cheney.
Right.
Well, we have a good time in this room all the time.
We have a great time.
Just you have to come back and join us. And we're going to get into some topics that are really into advocacy, talking about not only transition, but how can a special needs person go abroad and work? What are some of the strategies that they have to overcome while working abroad and doing advocacy work? It's very important that you learn how to self-advocate for yourself, and teaching you how to do that with role model and support. Ms. Shady, it's been a joy having you in the room this evening. Is there anything or a few last words you'd like to give the listening audience?
Sure, yes.
So much. I'll be talking to Fred possibly next week, Miss Sandy. I'll say hello to him for me.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we're still on.
Cool.
We're
going
to go a whole distance.
Okay.
Now, if you need to leave, that's fine. Because when the music stops, I'm just going to say again your name and give your book out again. Be good to yourself. Go out and love someone. This world is made up of people giving and serving. We're servants in this room. We have coaches and advocates. That's right. You have your only income to advocate. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you have to transition, and there are points in our life where we have to transition from birth to three, from kindergarten to preschool, from middle school to high school, and then from high school into the community or perhaps to college, you don't have to do it alone. There are coaches out there to help you, like Mrs. Cheney, like Robbie Cheney, like Mrs. Garth. We're out there to help you. And you don't have to go at it alone. Please exercise your rights. Find all of the resources that are available to you. Go online and Google coaches and find life coaches and make sure you work with a life coach. You're already challenged in a situation of looking for jobs. You don't have to be without employment, even though statistics are very high of unemployment for special populations. We can make a change. We can close the gap of disparity of minorities and of people with disability who are double minorities of not finding employment, their services to help you, like DCI. Please don't hesitate, mothers, to advocate on behalf of your children and advocate for yourself. Cut through the bureaucracy and get the help you need, because help is available. And on that note, I'd like to thank our guest again, Mrs. Robbie Cheney, who will be featuring her book throughout this particular segment. Next week we'll be talking about The Power of the Platform again, so you will hear about this book continuously. This book talks about the motivation of these speakers and their purpose. Do you have a purpose, ladies and gentlemen? If you don't, find your purpose. Be about your Father's business and find someone you can serve. Be a servant. And on that note, Mrs. Cheney, you have a great weekend. Listening audience, if you haven't found anything to do this weekend, go on sabbatical, do something nice for yourself. I am off for 2 days, so I'm out of here. And you know, Omi is getting ready to go on sabbatical. So don't even try it. Don't even leave a message for me. I'm on sabbatical. All right, on that note, Mrs. Cheney, good evening. And you have a blessed evening. Thank you so much, Ms. Cheney. Okay. And we say, oh, Davo, and Baba Booey to y'all. Goodbye.
Peace out.